Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kansas City Actors Radio Theater. I'm Cinnamon Schultz, and I'll be your host today for another episode of the finest radio drama performed by your favorite Kansas City actors. This week, we have episode 5 of our original series, Kansas City 1924, written by local playwright Forrest Attaway. Our sponsor for Kansas City 1924 is Tom's Town Distilling Company, downtown Kansas City's first legal distillery since Prohibition, bringing back the roaring 20s in every bottle when the king of Kansas City was boss, Tom Pendergast. He ruled over a city of gamblers, speakeasies, and rule breakers. The Paris of the Plains never missed a drop of gin, bourbon, or vodka. And they still don't. Tom's Town spirits don't just break the rules, they change the game. You can find their vodka, gin, and bourbon at your local liquor store. Tom's Town, the people are thirsty. And I hope you people are thirsty for another taste of Kansas City 1924. Here's the 5th episode. It's called Baseball Season.
The darkness is overwhelming on this spring night. Storms have blacked out parts of the outskirts of the city, so the lights of 12th Street bounce from its highest points like a beacon, reminding the plains of the Midwest that Kansas City is even more than present. Men have been deployed from Ma Pritchett and the Livestock Exchange to put irons to the illegal liquor trade run by Joe Giovanni and his associates. And as young Rose, covered in blood, collapses on the floor of the Royale, the boys from the West Bottoms are stopping the bootleggers from making a living.
I'm going to need you to step out of the truck, sir.
Well, hey now. How are you boys doing on this wet and unfaithful night?
Can you please get out of the truck?
I would rather keep my cover, if you can understand how rain works, friend.
Keep your lights on, please.
Easy now, officer. I feel you and... your boy's got enough lights for all of us.
Keep the lights on.
Keep the lights on. Yes, sir. Are you on a break or on a take, my friend? Because our clams depend on the tide. The faster I can give you peace of mind, the sooner I can clear this path.
What's your name, driver?
Some people call me George, some call me Kelly. And may I ask your name if you haven't forgotten it?
Where are you headed, Kelly?
What's your name, friend?
A question is a poor answer, sir.
Friends, no names, stranger, and I have been displaying nothing but kindness. Shall we reintroduce ourselves?
Family name is Skaggs. Now, where are you headed, Kelly?
I am on a lease, Mr. Skaggs. Can I ask who you represent? Your lack of uniform has given me pause.
Answer the question, sir. What is your destination?
Well, now, is this a spiritual question, or are you just being kind?
Breaking loose, boys. Let's see what this train is rolling with.
Oh, hey now, friend. This all feels a bit like marriage. I have a marker, Mr. Skaggs, which allows me safe passage.
A marker?
I do.
And what marker is that?
I have this nicely tied ribbon on this here steering wheel.
Ah, well, that changes everything. So, you're running hooch to Kansas City?
I am a purveyor of barrels, and I would not have a clue if they are filled with vinegar or nails. Wink, wink, shuffle, shuffle. And I am on a schedule.
You're a purveyor of barrels? What in the hell does that mean?
Oh, I sell barrels, sir. I just sell barrels. No reason to point that bird heater at me.
Step out of the truck, Kelly. Tell the other drivers to do the same.
Oh, my ears are open and I have found inspiration. Should I tell them in person or just sing on high?
I don't like your tone or your clever talk, Kelly. Now step down before I grow tired of your existence.
I concede.
Out of the truck now. Tell your men to do the same.
Boys, let's take a cigarette before these mugs go off the track. Turn them off and follow my example. These gents are family men, Skaggs. I'm asking for civility and understanding.
Corral your men in the ditch over here. We're just here for the booze, Daisy.
What are your orders, soldier? I told you these boys are family men. Are you cracking heads or stopping hearts?
Shorten your rope, Kelly. Shorten your rope and shut your mouth. Pull the iron around, men, and load up!
Do what he says, boys. Let's rest our feet in this here ditch. We've been pirated.
Make sure you tell your WAP boss, Giovanni, that Ma Pritchett sends her regards.
Now, boys, I can get with any message you want me to pass. And you got us pickled. That's a fact. But violence is yesterday's news. No reason to be walking around with all that wood in your hands.
You don't know the season, friend.
What season is that?
It's the beginning of baseball season.
You don't say.
Are you a fan?
I don't go in for sports, I'm afraid.
That's a shame. Swing away, boys!
I don't care if we never get back for it. One, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
The familiar hum of the weekend blankets all the streets and back alleys of the city. The River Caw winks at the West Bottoms over its levee as the rain continues its love affair with the fast-moving waters. It hasn't flooded here in over 20 years. As the constant drumming of the rain falls in tempo with the constant drumming of the jazz-drenched clubs, Ma Pritchett, silent in her resolve, rests in her office with an untouched glass of gin.
Hey, Ma, that federal agent you've been waiting on is here. You want me to send him in?
Yes, Tom, please.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Get a company of boys together with shovels and picks and ride out to Lawrence. If this rain doesn't let up in the morning, go ahead and flood the north and south fields.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, and Tom?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Agent Rouse, welcome to the Livestock Exchange.
Your man dragged me out of my house. I want you to know this is highly irregular.
We apologize for the inconvenience.
I was already in my bedclothes. I was headed to bed early.
I see.
I was going fishing in the morning. It is the weekend.
Well, this won't take long.
I like to be on the water before the sun comes up.
Understood.
What is this about?
It's about city pride, Rouse.
I'm from Maryland.
You're here with a job to do.
Ah, so we're telling jokes now. Three pigs and a duck walk into a drugstore.
No jokes, Agent. No games.
The jerk behind the counter says, "We don't serve your kind in here."
Agent Rouse.
The pig says, "It's okay. The duck is with us."
Agent Rouse.
Well, don't you want to hear the punchline?
No, I do not. Please, have a seat.
Have it your way.
What do you know about Joey Giovanni?
I don't know. What do you know about the streetcar schedule?
I don't follow.
You ever take the streetcar?
I do not.
I don't either. Do you know why? Because my profession provides me a vehicle. And as long as I follow the instructions of my supervisor, I will never have to ride the streetcar.
I think I understood.
Do you? Because I know about the streetcar. I know how the streetcar works. I know where the streetcar goes. But I have been told I don't ride the streetcar.
How long have you been in Kansas City, Rouse?
2 years now.
You married?
My wife is back east.
That must be difficult. Any children?
No. You?
A daughter.
A blessing.
Most of the time, yes.
Why am I here?
You're here because I want you to be able to ride the streetcar from here to Brush Creek and back.
Is that so?
I want you to do your damn job, Rouse. And I want you to start with Giovanni.
That's a nice sentiment, Mrs. Pritchett, but as I forementioned, I answer to a superior.
Son, this is the Livestock Exchange. I am your superior. You think the mayor runs this city? Maybe the alderman? Who do you imagine runs those dirt monkeys? That smell of cow shit out there is the money that built this town.
And Eberstein?
We can keep your man Eberstein's hands in his pockets while you get the good work done.
So?
So, you're being let off the leash, Rouse. We're cutting you loose to go rain on the parade. But you start and end with Giovanni. Do you understand?
Yes, ma'am. Can I ask a question?
You may.
Why me?
It's my understanding that you possess a certain righteous indignation, that you are indeed a Boy Scout. But I have also been told that you're possibly the most dangerous dog in the kennel, and we need a mad dog.
So, by any means necessary.
Giovanni is a snake, Agent Rouse. We need a snake eater.
I'm your man. Is that all?
That's all.
Thank you.
Oh, and Rouse.
Yes, ma'am.
Enjoy the fishing.
Lightning paints the upstairs room at the Royal opaque for a split second before it rests in the dark yellow candlelight. Rose lies on the bed, unconscious, as Clementine presses a cool rag to her forehead. As the last part of the storm passes over the city, a heavy quietness saturates the Royale as it waits for dawn.
How's she doing, Clemmy?
She's still in shock.
I brought fresh water and a nightgown for her. I'll leave it right here if she wakes.
Alice?
Yes?
Any luck out there?
Well, they found George, and they trucked him up to St. Luke's.
How is he?
He was blooded up like a slaughtered calf, but he's alive.
Are they back?
Oh, George.
Oh.
Easy, girl. Oh, you're okay. You're just fine.
Where's George? Where's my brother?
He's safe, Rose. Vincent and Mike took him to the hospital.
Is he okay?
He's gonna make it.
I want to see him. I need to see him.
Oh, you need to rest, girl.
Relax, Rose, honey. I'm sure we can take a trip later today.
Mm-hmm. Here now, have some water.
Here.
Thank you.
Do you remember what happened, child?
There was a truck with men in it. We were hurried because we were late. The streetcar wasn't running. They stopped and asked who we were running from. George told them we were late to play. One of them got down from the back with a rope.
Oh. Okay. Oh. I know. It's okay, child. You're safe now.
Something hit me in the head, and I fell into some bricks that were piled up. Then something hit me again, and when I looked up, they had him roped, and they were dragging him. He was running, trying to keep up, but
I need
to see my brother. Please let me see him.
In time, Rose, I promise, in time. But he has to rest, too. And we need to get a handle on what happened and who did this. Can you remember the truck at all?
Yes, ma'am.
Clemmy, go get Mike.
Sure, Alice.
Now, Rose, here, drink some more water. Just try to calm yourself. When Mike gets up here, we're going to talk about this truck. You did good, kid.
They turned the corner and he fell.
He is a strong, capable young man. The boy said they walked him in on his feet.
I ran. I couldn't see him.
We found him, Rose. Before you collapsed, you said all the right things and we found him.
What time is it?
It's early morning. Just lay back, little one. We'll get you on your feet soon enough.
Alice.
Do I need to get a message to your daddy?
He's traveling with the Monarchs this weekend for the end of spring training. Oh, I feel like I'm gonna be sick.
You lost a lot of blood, girl. You keep this wet towel on your head.
How do I look?
Like ripped up stockings, but you're still beautiful.
Alice!
Good, you're here, Mike. Holiday, I didn't ask for you.
Should I go?
No. Stay, Vincent. Stay.
Yes, Rose. I will.
Now, Rose, I want you to try to remember those men and that truck.
Yeah.
I remember the truck was green.
It might not be green. In the dark, in the rain, your eyes can play tricks on you.
It was green. I know it for certain.
Dark green or a light green?
It was a Highland green, except the door. The door was a dark color, but not black.
Both doors.
I never saw the far door. They turned right. I never saw it.
Okay, you said a truck now. A fence truck or a flatbed?
Fence.
Fence. Good, good, Rose, good.
Are you going to the police?
Go where? Oh, yeah, sure. That's what we're doing. That's probably all we need, Alice.
Take care of it.
Vincent, wait. Can I talk to Vincent alone for a minute?
Sure, but you try to rest. I'll send Clemmy back up when you're done visiting.
Don't prattle, Holiday. We're on the clock.
Tick-tock, I hear you.
Shoot me straight, Holiday. How is it?
You look grotesque.
What did you say?
Oh, you look like a banshee that crawled out of a graveyard.
Oh, you better stop.
No, I don't know if you took note, but I almost ran for my life at the sight of you.
I do believe you are the worst, Holiday.
Yeah, wait till I've been here for a month.
I'll wait.
Yeah. Now get some rest.
Vincent.
Yes, Rose?
Thank you.
Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer, do. I'm half crazy, all for the love of you.
As the rain finally breaks, so does the dawn this Saturday morning. Tom, practically painted in mud, makes his way up the walk to the Pritchett home. On the porch sits Charlie Cox in a short dress she borrowed from Amy, with a rifle over her knees, and wearing no shoes. The dress fits her well. As the morning rays of the sun cut across the horizon, the world is beginning to wake.
What in the hell done happened to you?
Long night. What are you wearing there, Ranger?
This here disguise. What now is your excuse?
Breaching the levees outside of town. Oh, it's dirty work.
You look like you fell in love with an alligator.
Well, you're dressed like a cigarette girl.
She done dressed me up like this.
Well, must not be too much of a chore. I see you wearing it again today.
What you mean again? We just now done got home.
She's still up.
Little Pritchett. Nah, she lost all the reason about an hour ago. I done carried her up to her room, got her undressed and put down.
Oh, you undressed her.
Did you want that heavyweight, T-Tom? I'll let you undress her next time.
Why are you not in your bed, Cece?
Maybe I need you to walk me up and take off my pretty dress, T-Tom.
Mm-mm. Don't throw salt at me, girl. You were out on point like a bird dog when I walked up.
Just holding things down. Why you care how I do my watch?
The same reason you care to ask. What has you holding on that rifle so tight?
Little Pritchett brings a mess of wind with her.
Mm-hmm. How's that?
She doesn't do much to stay still when she's drinking.
Nope. No, she does not.
And she don't care to be told too much when she's drinking.
Never has.
She splashes around like a wounded duck all night.
Was you saying she's too much for you?
I only have two eyes.
So you didn't have one bit of fun tonight?
Well, no. She's a good dancer.
Yeah, there it is.
She knows about everybody we run into.
And everybody knows her.
She's funny, too. She laughs all the time.
So why are you out here? You should get some rest.
Rain done stopped. It's hard to listen when everything get quiet like this.
Well, it sounds like some sleep's what you need before this silence makes you deaf.
We had hurricanes when I was growing up. They would flood everything but the boats. Wind tearing off leaves and moss and all the swamp sounds would go dark.
Damn.
When it felt like we was all going to drown or be beaten to death by the wind and the wood, it would stop. It would come quiet. Quiet like it is now.
I'll take quiet.
You don't know this quiet, T-Tom. It's not peaceful. It's like you can't breathe in it. It pushes on you and makes your hands swell on up.
Mm.
That's what I'm feeling out here on this porch. It's not a good quiet.
Better than rain and wind, I imagine.
That's just it, though. The quiet don't last for long, and when the storm comes back meaner.
Meaner, huh?
Like a pack of alligators fighting over some possum.
Amy is safe as long as she stays in the West Bottoms. They know her there. They know who her mother is.
Colonel Wesley didn't put me here because she needs a friend. He done made it clear she is a target. I suggest you get tight as far as how this house is run, T-Tom.
Now, I don't need you telling me my job, Ranger. Nobody gets close to this family without my eyes on them. That includes you.
Okay then, Hawkeye. You go on and rest. I'll keep the fires lit.
I will. See you for lunch.
T-Tom.
What?
Make sure you take those boots off.
With the southern wind comes trucks. Trucks and horses and men up from north and east Texas. A half platoon of company men follow Colonel Wesley into the stockyards this afternoon, and the powers that be take note. Lockridge sends a runner to Colonel Wesley. He seeks a parley before what is sure to be a costly engagement.
Colonel Wesley.
Lockridge.
Excuse us, gentlemen. The colonel and I need the room.
Yeah, go on, boys. This shouldn't take long.
Yeah, I'm afraid I don't have an ashtray for your cigar, Colonel.
Well, I'll try not to be offended.
Thank you for your understanding. And I want to thank you for your willingness to take this meeting, sir.
Well, let's get to it.
Yes, let's. It's an election year, Colonel.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm aware.
You bringing in large groups of armed men seems a bit frightening, sir.
Nonsense.
I'm sorry?
I said nonsense. You got over 500 Klansmen in this town this weekend, and you're worried about my boys?
I suppose I should have inquired about your intentions, Colonel.
You know damn well what my intentions are, or you wouldn't have sent for me.
I sent for you as a courtesy, sir.
Is that so?
Do you remember the first time we met, sir?
I can't say I remember ever meeting you. But I damn sure know who you are and what you represent.
More importantly, who I represent.
What and who carry the same weight in this brick safe?
The dedication of the new memorial. That's where we met.
I'll take your word for it.
You spoke that weekend.
Everyone who survived the war spoke that weekend.
It did feel like that. I concur. But you said something in your address that has always stayed with me. It was about freedom. Do you remember?
Well, I often speak on freedom. You'll have to be more precise.
An American walks down the street, and as he walks, he swings his arms haphazardly to and fro. As he does this, he accidentally strikes another man who he is passing. The man confronts him about the assault, as unintentional as it was. "You struck me in the shoulder, sir." The man responds, "It is a free country. I am free to swing my arms as I walk."
Yeah, I remember the allegory.
And do you remember the man's response?
Yeah. The man said, "Your freedom ends where my shoulder begins."
Indeed.
Sheila Pritchett has the right to defend her holdings here in Kansas City.
We are in agreement.
So what's this all about?
You're a smart man, Colonel. What do you think it's about?
I imagine it's about what it's always about.
The city leaders don't want a war. These little feuds endanger the public and foster a poor reputation.
Reputation, you say? What city do you think you're living in?
A growing city. A city that's become a destination.
Don't try to sell me, young man. I ain't buying.
Well, you seem to be putting resources towards an altercation that we would rather not endure.
I'm looking out for me and mine.
If that were true, you would convince Mrs. Pritchett to alter your course.
Are you threatening me, boy?
With all respect, sir, and I want to be clear about this. I am indeed threatening you. If this feud continues, we will be forced to break your legs financially, and if you persist, we will elevate our response.
Well, allow me to be clear. My resources run deeper than any pockets you might have your hands in. And for any slight that the Livestock Exchange or my company endures, the response will be tenfold. I didn't feed my horses to French soldiers and live in the mud for a year to come back to this country to lose ground to the damned Irish and Italians.
Do not, sir, group us with your adversaries. Our goal is a fertile community where all parties maintain productivity and success. You can preach all the vain, idealistic sermons you wish, but it doesn't change the fact that you are visitors in our city and you do business here because we allow it.
Well, as you said, it's an election year.
Colonel Wesley stands. He smiles. He reaches over and puts out his cigar in an empty glass on Lockridge's desk. As the colonel exits, Lockridge takes a long, measured look at the glass before hurling it across the room.
For it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ballgame.
This is Kansas City, 1924.
Looks like the colonel stays defiant. Who prevails in this test of wills? Tune in next week to find out. Featured in this week's episode, Victor Rader Wexler as the narrator, Matt Rapport as Skaggs, R.H. Wilhoit as George Kelly, Kyle Dick as Tom, Jan Rogie as Ma Pritchett, Sam Cordes as Agent Shane Rouse, Ellen Kirk as Alice, Jen Mays as Clementine, Bree Woods as Rose, Scott Cordes as Big Mike, Matt Schwader as Vincent, Chioma Anyanwu as Charlie, Brian Paulette as Lockridge, and Gary Neal Johnson as Colonel Wesley. The episode was directed by Victor Rader Wexler. Sound design and engineering was by John Robertson, and it was written by Forrest Attaway. Kansas City Actors Radio Theater is made possible by support from donors like you and our program sponsors, which include the Estelle S. and Robert A. Long Ellis Foundation, the Muriel McBrien Kaufman Foundation, the Richard J. Stern Foundation for the Arts, the Miller Nichols Charitable Foundation, Theater League, the Missouri Arts Council, Arts KC, and special thanks to Mark and Valerie Andrus. Of course, our exclusive sponsor for Kansas City 1924 is Tomstown Distillery. Tomstown spirits don't just break the rules, they change the game. You can find their vodka, gin, and bourbon at your local liquor store. Tomstown, the people are thirsty. I'm Cinnamon Schultz, and please stay healthy and stay tuned.